Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Shelley. Scrambling. Lost it. Loose. Picked up. McGee. Can he get there? McGee. Down the sideline. Jared McGee. Touchdown Northwestern. Wow.
Hashtag go Cats, man. I'm not going anywhere. This is home forever.
Go Fitzy, go Cats.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're delighted to welcome in the head coach of Northwestern football, Mr. Pat Fitzgerald. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And congratulations on a really great season, all things considered, Coach. And really, that bowl game, man, that was fun to watch. It was really something else to come back in that game. I don't know. I haven't seen anything like it. The change of momentum in that third quarter was amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But really proud of the guys. You know, what do we go? 9-2 down the stretch. Obviously a disappointing start to the year, but I thought the guys really responded well. We had a number of guys that had to step up, and you know, we were able to get that kind of next men mentality. I wish it was next man, but it was men, plural. throughout the whole season, and the Holiday Bowl was no exception. You know, we had basically five starters not playing, and playing the Pac-12 South champs. That, you know, when we did our research, a lot of people out west felt like they were the best team of the Pac-12. So. Really, really proud of the way our guys stepped up.
Fitz, you've been around Northwestern football a long time as a player and a coach. Have you ever had experienced a third quarter that impactful? And what'd you say at halftime?
Well, it's not going to be in any book, I promise you that. it was really a calm halftime. We just did not play well. At all in the first half. We had a handful of communication issues on defense, which was surprising because we had practiced so well. But one of the big things in the opener and a bowl game were the speed of the game. And it just was a little bit quick. And so we just talked about, you know, not being maybe as multidimensional on some calls, and the guys settled down. And then they just created a ton of turnovers, which seized momentum. And then offensively, we had a couple drops in the first half that were key. And then we had a couple issues protection wise where, you know, we had to throw, it wasn't hot, but it was warm, and we held the ball and we didn't get open. And so we just simplified some things, got some downhill run plays going. And then I thought Mick, was really patient with the run game in the second half and called a really great third quarter offensively. And our guys executed, and, we handled the weather. It's shocking to have to say that, but the weather was a factor definitely in the game. It was a beautiful week, picture perfect, and then, you know, game day that weather was nasty, and I thought we handled it really well.
He's the head coach of Northwestern football, Pat Fitzgerald. And Coach, I thought that the Jared McGee, the scoop and score, the 82-yard touchdown, was such an important play in that game. I mean, you guys had grabbed that game by the throat, but they were marching down the field, and then to turn the tables and it's like a 14-point swing, and then they were just overwhelmed by the turnovers after that, and you guys put together the 28-point quarter. I mean, it was a huge play in that game.
Yeah, it was a big play. You know, first of all, we had good coverage early. They tried to throw basically a RPO, and we got great pressure from Joe Goss off the backside. Great strip sack. You know, it's something that we talk about all the time. I mean, we pull every play off of every weekend to show our defense of, you know, guys going after the football. And there was no better, I think, indication of the significance of that emphasis than the game. And, you know, the way that Jarrett scooped and scored. A great job by Tim McGargle, you know, our linebacker coach. You know, we lost Nate Hall after the Ohio State game, and, you know, we talked a lot about personnel and using the month to our advantage and getting Jarrett on the field, the guy that had bailed through injuries, and, you know, moving him to our field backer, our Sam backer. And you know, I think if I'm out there playing Sam, I probably get hawked at about at the minus 30. But, you know, Jarrett hit the gas, and it was a huge play for the team.
So, Fitz, you're on the 21-yard line. You're in a bowl game. It's a tight moment. And you decide to do what every coach does. Hey, let's throw to the 6'4", 296-pound tackle. Tackle eligible play. Work for a touchdown. Hey, when Matt Nagy has trick plays, he names them. Do you have a name for this one? And what was behind that that great call at that time?
Well, I think
Trey Clock is the player's name.
Yeah, I think Trey Clock became a Peisman candidate, I think is what it's called on the internet. So, you know, he's a great young man. Just so happy for him. He transferred to our program a couple of years ago and from a previous institution, and it just didn't work for him on the O-line, but we found a role for him in short yardage, goal line, and different personnel groupings. And, you know, it's a play that we've run a couple of different times, and we're not that cool. You know, Matt's a really cool dude. You know, Mick and I are not that cool. Maybe we should start naming plays. You know, we could call that one the Nagy or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, just proud of the way that the guys battled, and that was a big play. You know, I like the fact that we had discussions about calling down on the first play of possession. You know, and Mick was pretty adamant. He's like, "Now let's set it up on second down," and the guys executed it. And how about Trey with the yards after the catch?
That was great. That
was good.
Yeah, he kind of looked like some of the people walking in the gas lamp a couple hours later on New Year's Eve crossing the goal line. But that is what it is. Happy New Year.
Yeah, that's a great town. I mean, that's really a fun place. And you know, we obviously follow the program and see what's happened and the facilities and everything that's going so well for you. You got a big time transfer who's come in at quarterback, and you know, we're looking at the future of the program. But the NFL is calling too. Now, you kind of ended that conversation in the postgame. I'm just wondering, when you say that Northwestern's always home, did you mean that metaphorically or do you mean it physically?
Are we getting in like deep thoughts with Jack Dandy here or what? Holy cow. I mean, metaphoric. I can't even spell that, and I'm a Northwestern grad. My goodness gracious. You know, listen, it's a testament to the program, and I'm just so thankful for our staff, and that's everybody. You know, it's strength staff and Jay Hooten and our coaching staff and Cody Shada and Jacob Schmidt and Chris Bowers, who's now going down to Eastern Illinois with Adam Cushing, you know, from a recruiting and operations standpoint, player development, and our nutritionist, everybody, Kevin Kikagawa, our athletic trainers, to our guys that are in our facilities crew, and everybody. And then most importantly, our players. You know, I've been blessed now to be here 19 years, and you should have seen my phone post game, you know, and it was mostly from teammates and the guys that I've had the privilege to coach. And, you know, I'm just so thankful to Jim Phillips, the best director of athletics in the country, and Morty Shapiro, the best president, and our trustees for their support. And, you know, we've got a long way to go here as a program, and that's what we're going to get working on. Not that we've stopped, but, you know, I think to see the commitment of the facility, the Walter Athletic Center, you know, now moving forward, it's to continue to push and move this program forward. And, you know, I think we've made a pretty bold commitment to each other now, multiple 10-year contracts, and, you know, my hope is that we can continue to do that. But it's a testament to the program. It's not about me. It's about what we've collectively done. And just so thankful for everybody, their effort and their commitment and their loyalty.
But Fitz, the Packers' interest is real. And I think it's a compliment to your program and to you that they have some interest in interviewing you. Have they asked to interview you? And if they do, would you go through that just for the experience of interviewing with an NFL team?
Well, you know, I'm interviewing with you guys right now, so I don't think I need any more experience. You know, I feel pretty confident in the way that we run our program. And, you know, the word that's overused a lot is culture, right? I mean, I think it's just about the way you run your program, not occasionally, not just to the media, but more importantly, the way you operate 24/7, 365. And, you know, we've got, I think, an amazing relationship with the entire league on Sunday, you know, from our relationship with the Bears to, you know, I'm very close with a number of NFL coaches that allow me to go up and study their game and how they run their organizations. And I'm very grateful for that. And, you know, one of the best text messages I got was from Matt after the game. You know, he and I are starting to become pretty good friends. And, you know, I look forward to learning from him and his staff here in this offseason. But, you know, the experiences that I want to have are those that are developing players to be prepared for life and winning championships in the classroom and on the field. And, you know, we've got the national championship academically. Now I want to get that thing done on the field. And we're really close, but close isn't good enough. And we're going to be working on this offseason. And I'll continue to do interviews like that. You know, we'll leave it at that.
So you're not leaving. There's no chance that you'd go, or would you consider it?
I mean, do I have to continue to
we need constant denial. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I guess the people are just afraid because no one knows what the future would be if you were to leave. To a lot of us, you are Northwestern football as a player and certainly as a coach.
Well, there's that. I appreciate those kind words, but no person is bigger than the program and no person is bigger than the university. And, you look at, again, the commitment, and you look at where we're at. You know, we got a long way to go, and those are the things that we're going to discuss as we're moving forward. But, you know, very proud to be a Wildcat and look forward to doing it for as long as, the university sees that I'm the right man for the job. And if they don't feel that way, I'll understand it. I'll retire, and I'll be out in the West lot having a really, 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 really good time.
So Fitz, part of your offseason recruiting include, as a Sox fan, getting the Cubs bench coach? Because Mark Loretta is a Northwestern guy. I know you're buddies with him. And all of a sudden, after you visit San Diego, he's all of a sudden on the Cubs payroll.
Yeah, I I'm not as active on Twitter maybe as I should be, but that is becoming less and less, trust me. Mark and I were talking at practice in San Diego, and he told me he was coming to be the bench coach and fired up. But again, I'm not a hater, man. I'm a Chicago guy, and I'm fired up, and still in my lifetime, man, we're going to have the Red Line World Series. I can't wait for that, and I'm fired up to get our team back. We're going to take a couple weeks here. We don't start school again until Monday. We got our coaches' convention down in San Antonio here starting on Saturday. Stacy and I will head down there and got meetings through Wednesday. But, you know, after that, we hit the road recruiting and then winter workouts, and Jay Hooten and his staff and Kevin Kikagawa and our athletic training staff get going on getting our team healthy, getting bigger, faster, and stronger. We've got a huge test in the opener now. We got to go back out to California and play Stanford on the road, and that's going to be a huge challenge. We did not play well early this year. We analyzed everything, and we came out the gate 1-3. So I'm just thinking about playing a bunch of golf and maybe not analyzing anything, because it sure didn't work last year. But, we'll get to work right away on getting those things fixed.
Before I let you go, Fitz, you know, in the bowl season, to me, the bowl system is broken. And I think that what you did is showed up with the way your team played. You got your players somehow to care about this bowl like it meant something to them. I think that's becoming a bigger challenge for coaches because of the NFL, because of just the devalued bowl system. And number one, how do you do that? How challenging is that? And number two, when you look at the playoff system with Ohio State playing so well and you know, you all the debate and consternation over that, where is that headed?
Well, I think that's a multifaceted question. Let's start with the bowl season. You know, again, at 44 years old, I think I've got some wisdom, you know, of playing the game like you did, David, that, you know, when you're done, it's over. There's no senior tour. And, I understand and respect the decisions that individual young men need to make and their families need to make. And my job is to support them. And give them wisdom and help them understand kind of where things are at from an NFL perspective. Like I said, we've got great relationships and are able to get honest feedback. And I know sometimes players don't want to hear honest feedback, but we give it to them. And then, you know, we make decisions collectively as a family. And sometimes I agree with those decisions and sometimes I don't, but I will 100% fully support our players in the decisions they make, but they have to live with those decisions. And, you know, when you get to be my age, you look back at your time playing college football, man, and you miss it dearly. And I just want to make sure guys make decisions with all the information. And then again, we'll support them. We talk about every game mattering. Every game matters. There's no game that's less significant than others. And, I think our guys were very focused. And you always want to send your seniors out as champions in their last game. And for us, it's obviously in a regular season, in a rivalry game. now the standard that our seniors set to get to Indianapolis and be Big Ten champions. We weren't able to get that done, but we had a chance in the Holiday Bowl to send our seniors out as champions, and I'm really proud of the job that our guys did. As far as the playoff, I really think we have to revisit it. The way it was sold to us as coaches in our league was strength of schedule is going to matter. Obviously, who you played and how you played mattered, and winning games, being a conference champion mattered, and then obviously who the best four teams were at the end of the year. I don't think that that's where we're at right now. And so we've got to revisit, I think, that nationally. Does that mean adding games? I just hope that doesn't diminish the regular season and doesn't diminish bowl season anymore. There's definite time for discussion, and hopefully we'll just continue to make it better. And that's what it's all about. But I think college football players want to play games, and I hope we don't change that.
Thanks so much, Pat. And hashtag go Cats, as a great man once said.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I appreciate your guys' amazing support, and happy new year. And appreciate the support from all of our great fans. Thanks a lot. Go Cats.
Same to you,
Thanks,
Coach.
That's great.
He got that in.
Same to you, Go Cats. Is that what you
said? He got that in.
I know. Hashtag Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Do you know what I tweeted right after that?
What?
Hashtag Go Cats. Not an idiot.
Of course you did.
Go Cats.
Did
follow instruction. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Go Fitzy, go Cats.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.